much. Amen. So I just want to encourage you to stand as we get ready to enter into the teaching this morning. Opening up your Bibles to Genesis chapter 8, or turning on your Bible apps. So opening up your Bible apps to Genesis chapter 8, verses 20 to 21, part of 22. Genesis chapter 8. And today we're going to speak on the theme, gratitude comes from within. Gratitude comes from within. As we focus on Thanksgiving, and I preached this sermon before, and it's a sermon that has resonated with me. It's a sermon that I love. It has ministered to me all this week. It has really spoken to my heart and reminded me of the truth of being thankful for all that we have. I hope that it speaks to you as well this morning. Gratitude comes from within. Genesis chapter 8. We're speaking about Noah this morning. Somebody saying amen. Amen. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord, and Noah built an altar to the Lord, and taking some of all the clean animals and clean birds, he sacrificed burnt offerings on it. The Lord smelled the pleasing aroma and said in his heart, "Never again will I curse the ground because of humans, even though every inclination of the human heart is evil from childhood. And never again will I destroy all living creatures as I have done." Let's look at verse 20 again. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. Then Noah built an altar to the Lord. And those words are the first words that are written when it has to do with Noah coming out of the ark. The first thing that Noah did was build an altar to the Lord. Noah had been in the ark for almost a year. And when he comes out, the first thing he does is build an altar to the Lord. See, gratitude comes from within. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for the teaching of your word this morning. For your word always speaks to us, and it never comes back void. It never comes back empty. I pray, Lord God, that your word would speak to us this morning, O Lord, that it would remind us what it is to live in gratitude, a thankful heart, a thankful spirit, Lord, that we would wake up every day knowing, God, that you have saved us. Your grace has kept us, and your sovereignty leads us every day. And because of that, God, gratitude should flow from within us every single day. Father, as we look at the life of Noah, Lord, and his action of building an altar to you, Lord, an altar of gratitude, we pray, Lord, that this teaching would resonate with us this morning as well. And we ask, Lord, your leading of your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name we pray, amen and amen. You may be seated. So Thanksgiving is this week, is a time to reflect and a time to be thankful. We're thankful to the Lord for what he has done. Thankful for the salvation of our soul, right? Thankful for his saving grace. We're thankful for church and a place of worship. We're thankful for those who are beside us, our spouses, our children, our friends. We're thankful for the food that we have to eat and the things that we have to share. We're also thankful. We're thankful for high seasons and low seasons, good times and bad times. We're thankful for our jobs and our homes and for the things that we use every single day. And we can go on and on with regard to gratitude and thankful to the Lord for our spouses, for our children. We're thankful to the Lord for our faith. Right, there's so much that we can talk about this morning. And I want to share with you, just looking at Noah and the story of Noah briefly, in Genesis chapter 6, verses 5, 6, and 7, it teaches us that the Lord saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become on the earth, and that every inclination of their thoughts of the human heart was only evil at the time. And the Lord regretted that he had made human beings on the earth, and in his heart, he was deeply troubled. God, deeply troubled because he had made humanity. And the Lord said, "I will wipe from the face of the earth the human race I have created, and with them the animals, the birds, and the creatures that move along the ground, for I regret that I have made them." God said those words. But Noah But Noah, the Bible says, found favor in the eyes of the Lord. Man, that we would be a Noah, right? To find favor in the eyes of God, right? God says the same thing about Daniel. I found favor in him, right? I have him in high esteem, is what God said about Daniel, right? That the Lord would find favor. But that we would find favor in the eyes of the Lord. And the Lord tells Noah to build an ark because he's about to destroy the world with a flood. And the Lord commands him to build an ark in Genesis 6:14. He builds the ark over a period of little over 100 years. So the Bible teaches us that for 100 years, Noah built this ark. Genesis chapter 6, verse 19, God tells him, you are to bring into the ark two of all living creatures, male and female, to keep them alive with you, two of every kind of bird, every kind of animal, every kind of creature that moves along the ground will come into you to be kept alive. You are to take every kind of food that is to be eaten and store it away as food for you and for them. Noah did everything that the Lord had commanded. And for 150 days, the earth was filled with water to the point that there was no land exposed. And after a little over a year, God commands Noah, his family, and the animals to leave the ark. And the first thing that Noah does is build an altar unto the Lord. And he sacrifices a burnt offering unto God. So I love this about Noah. The first thing he does is he builds an ark. He builds a sacrifice unto the Lord. And I want you to know that the ark season wasn't an easy season for Noah. It wasn't like, you know, he's in the ark with his three children and his three daughters-in-law and his wife and his party, you know. It wasn't an easy season for him. You know, there was insecurity, uncertainty. There was fear. In fact, the Bible teaches us that Noah did not hear from God. There was quietness from God. There was a sense that what is going to happen? It wasn't an easy season. And then towards the end, they were even having domestic issues among themselves. It wasn't an easy season. Yes, God's covering and God's protection was there, but it wasn't an easy year. It wasn't an easy 150 days of water, of rain. It wasn't an easy season. It was a hard season. And the ark was his provision. Noah, it was provision for Noah and his family. The ark was the salvation for them. It was the saving grace of God. But the saving grace of God that comes upon us doesn't always promise easy seasons. It does promise that God will protect us and keep us, right? And our souls are in his hands. But it doesn't always promise easy seasons. But it does promise God's provision and protection. And when Noah comes out of the ark, in the midst of the ark season, he recognizes God's goodness and he builds an altar unto the Lord. And I love that the Bible says that it pleased the Lord. See, Noah had recognized God's goodness and he built this ark and it pleased the Lord. Gratitude flowed from within the heart of Noah. And out of this, God promises never to destroy all living creatures this way again. So Noah was grateful to the Lord. The Lord had saved him. The Lord had saved his family. It was a hard season, many uncertainties, but Noah was thankful. So this morning, what can we learn from this story? 5 points that I'd like to share with you briefly this morning that I believe that we can learn. And I hope that this week it will alter something in our lives. I hope that it would draw us to be more thankful to the Lord for all that he has done. And it may not be an easy season that we're going through, but gratitude still flows from within. Our first point this morning is gratitude should be our first reaction. Noah was so thankful to the Lord that the first thing he did was build an altar to the Lord. I love that he didn't think about, let me build a house where my family can live. The Lord has told us, come out of the ark. We need to build a house. It wasn't his first thing. He didn't think about farming. You know, he goes, let's plant some vegetables. No, that wasn't his first thinking either. You know, he probably was tired of certain foods that he had been eating, and he's thinking some fresh vegetables would be nice. And it may have been his thought, but it wasn't his action. The first thing he did was build an ark to the Lord. Gratitude should be our first reaction. He didn't lecture his family. And I love that. He didn't lecture his family. You see, if we're obedient, look what's going to happen. No. The first thing he did was show gratitude to the Lord. It's such a great lesson for us that we would wake up every day with a heart of gratitude. That we would wake up every day understanding that God has been with us. The psalmist said, "This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it." Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 20. "Giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Giving thanks always. Everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thankful to the Lord. Thankful for our lives. Thankful for our faith. I love what the author of Hebrews says in chapter 12, verse 28. "Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken." Let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. "And thus let us offer God an acceptable worship with reverence and awe." Oh, I love that. He's saying, if we've understood our faith, then let us offer to God an acceptable worship. If we're really grateful to the Lord, let us offer him an acceptable worship, an acceptable reverence, and with awe unto God. See, gratitude should be our first reaction. Thankful for our families, our friends, those around us, our home, our church, our jobs. It may be a hard season for us, like it was for Noah. It may be a hard time for you. It may be a time of testing. Maybe even it's a quiet time from God where you haven't heard God speak to you. I want to share with you this morning that gratitude should be our first reaction. I love that the Apostle Paul tells the Thessalonians in the first book, chapter 5, verse 18, "Giving thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you." In other words, in all times, in easy times, in hard times, thankful, even in our times of testing, thankful for the Lord, he will see us through it. For we know what the Bible says, and we know that for all those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to his purpose. So we're thankful. It's our first reaction. It's the first thing that we do in the morning. It's our first mindset in all times, low times and high times. How many times have we heard of someone go through something and their reaction to us, their reaction is, "Well, I'm thankful to the Lord." Last night, Pastor Naomi sent me a text and says, "I'm thankful that it wasn't worse," regarding Lucas's leg. It's a heart of gratitude, understanding that God is in the midst of it and he is good to us. And we're always in a spirit of gratitude to the Lord. The life that we live, we must live it in a spirit of gratitude. Come what may come, thankful to know that God's sovereignty reigns over our lives and he is in charge of our yesterday, of our today, and our tomorrow. And when we understand that, gratitude flows from within. We understand this, and I love, that's why Paul writes to the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 17, and he says this, "And whatever you do in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks to God the Father through him." That's why everything we do, every way we live, every reaction we have, we don't do it to look for favor with men. We don't do it to look for recognition from men. We do it out of a spirit of gratitude, giving thanks to the Lord Jesus for all that he has done for us. Our first reaction in life, in all seasons, needs to be gratitude. It's our first reaction. How many say amen? The second thing, our second point this morning that we can learn from this story is gratitude regardless of our accomplishments. Gratitude regardless of our accomplishments. Noah built the ark that kept his family through the floods. He built the ark with his own hands, with the help of his sons. He built the ark. But Noah knew that it was not his accomplishment. It was not his labor that kept him. It was God's provision that saved him. See, so gratitude, regardless of our accomplishments, regardless of our labor, you know, we may be doing something good with our hands or with our minds, but no, ultimately the blessing comes from the Lord. It was God's word that saved him. It was God's leading that saved him. He may have built the ark, but it was God's word and God's leading that saved him. We are thankful because we know that no matter what, how much we work, no matter how much we do, we know that it's the Lord that leads us and the Lord that strengthens us. We know this. We know that God is teaching us that He'll give us the gifting that we need to get some things done, but it's His provision, it's His strength, it's His understanding that gives us what we need to accomplish what is before us. Noah showed his children. They may have helped build the ark. They may have helped build the ark, but it was God's will that they not perish. They may have helped build the ark, but it was God's will that they had not perished. And the psalmist said it perfect. Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Unless the Lord allows it, unless the Lord does it, our labor is futile, is useless, unless the Lord has given us the strength and the power to do it. When we labor, it is good, but it's God's will in our lives that allows us to produce the very thing that God wants us to produce. And there may be some today that feel, there are many perhaps that feel that they're working hard and they feel like they achieve little. Sometimes people feel like I'm working hard and I achieve little. The prophet Haggai says this. Chapter 1, verse 6, the Lord speaking through the prophet. You have planted much, but harvest little. You eat, but never have enough. You drink, but never have you fill. You put on clothes, but you are not warm. You earn wages, but only to put them in purses with holes in it. Perhaps it's because, as the people of those times, they had forgotten about God. And they had forgotten about God's will for their life. And they had forgotten that God is the one who blesses their hands. And in those times, they were building and they were feeling lost. They were feeling empty. They were working hard and gaining money, but yet it was never enough. You know, so maybe we feel that way as well. Maybe we feel like I'm working hard. I'm accomplishing much, but it doesn't come out to a lot. And maybe it's because we have not been grateful, recognizing that it's God's strength and God's wisdom and God's intellect that allows us to do the things that we are doing today. And when we flow through that gratitude that shows that we're thankful to the Lord for it, well, then it achieves even more. You know, maybe you have studied and have a good job, but I want to tell you that it's only God that has allowed you to have that job. You know, there's always someone smarter than you. There's always somebody better at it than you. But God has allowed you to achieve it. God has allowed you to obtain it. And yes, you have some gifting. But don't ever think that your gifting has allowed you to achieve the place that you are, whether it's secularly, whether it's ministerially, whether it's favor among people. No, your gifting has not been your reasoning, or your reason why you're there. Your gifting has helped you, but it's the Spirit of God, it's God's will, it's God's word, it's God's strength that has flown through you that have allowed you to achieve those things. And for that, you have been able to have the success that you're having here today. Maybe you saved up your money and was able to buy a home. Well, that's good, but it was the Lord that allowed you to buy that home. That's why even some at times feel like I'm achieving a little. Why? Maybe we haven't really lived in gratitude to the Lord. And some say, but I have the knowledge for this. I have the gifting for this. Why can't I obtain it? Why can't I achieve it? Why doesn't it come easy for me as it does for so-and-so? Well, maybe we need to pull back, and because gratitude hasn't flown from within.
It has not been our reaction. We think that our gifting and our intellect and our human wisdom should be enough to get us there. Well, it's not. When we recognize gratitude and we understand God's goodness towards us, that's enough to catapult the most unwise, and that's enough to catapult the one who knows the least and the least gifted to the highest ranking, because gratitude that flows from within brings promotion to all. And I think it's important to remember this, to remember that our achievements in life come because we have been thankful to the Lord. And the church says, the third thing this morning, gratitude can be more than words. I'm not saying that words are not enough, because there's something nice to say thank you. It's good to say thank you, right? You feel good. But there's something special about an action that comes along with gratitude. Has anybody ever done something really nice for you and you feel like, man, I want to do something for them, right? I wish I could do something for them, because, you know, a thank you is, at the moment, it's not feeling enough. I love that Noah didn't just say thank you, but he got the best of the animals and he lifted an altar to the Lord. And an act of worship and an act of gratitude, an offering to the Lord. He wasn't just saying thank you, but he was making a sacrifice at that moment, giving God something. I want to tell you today that gratitude can be more than words. I love that when the ark came back to Israel, King David didn't just say thank you, but the Bible says that he danced, right? I love that Zacchaeus, in his encounter with Jesus, he said, I want to do more than just say thank you. I want to give back anything that I have taken that is not mine. See, the Apostle Paul always continues to remind us that a grateful spirit, to be a grateful church that is grateful, will be encouraged by God's word and God's will. How about us? Do we show gratitude to the Lord? Or are we just here on Sunday, thank you, Lord. Thank you. You're so good to me, Lord. I'm here today and I get to worship you. Thank you. And this is our gratitude unto the Lord. See, I love it when there is a response to gratitude. There has been times when I have talked to people. I said, oh, I just want to say, you know, man, thank you for doing this. And their reaction is, how can I not? The Lord has been so good to us. Good to me. How can I not? It's a spirit that recognizes God has been good. And I want to do more than just say thank you. I want to serve. I want to bless someone. I want to encourage someone. Yeah. I want to encourage you to evaluate our lives this morning. That our Sunday would change our Monday. Where am I? How grateful am I? I want to encourage us to evaluate how thankful we are to God. Do we serve in ministry? If you're a member of Elohim Christian Church, I want to encourage you to serve at some level. At some level. We shouldn't be a member and not serve at all. You need to serve at some level. You may not be able to lead ministries because of time and different things, but my goodness, I can help somewhere. I can do something. And some would say, well, I give my tithes. Well, I want to encourage you that it would be more than just a thankful. I want to encourage you to give of yourself a sacrifice of the best that you have and give it to the Lord, because you're thankful for all that God has done, right? And I think that this is important. It's important to show even our offerings are a spirit of gratitude. A few weeks ago, we talked about this, right? And, you know, our offerings, tithing is obedience, but offerings is gratitude. And if we give an offering, a little offering out of the abundance that we have, well, how grateful are we? I want to encourage you to think about those things. How do we treat others? When you treat others rudely, it shows that you're not thankful for the goodness that has been bestowed upon your life. When you're mean to others, it shows that you're not really thankful. When there is not a polite spirit, it shows that we're not thankful. Because when you live in gratitude, the goodness of God flows through you. And you want to be polite. And you want to be nice. And you want to be forgiven. You want to be able to forgive, and you want to do those. Why? Because you're thankful for all those things that already have occurred in you. and you have experienced the goodness of God, the generosity of God over your life. You have received those things, and because of that, you are gracious because you have received grace. And only a gratitude, only a heart of gratitude, only a grateful spirit understands those things. When we are not grateful, we're mean. When we're not grateful, we're not polite. When we're not grateful, we are rude and we're obnoxious. Easy to offend someone. Why? Because we haven't recognized the goodness of God over our lives. And this has nothing to do with salvation. Salvation is a free gift from God. But when you are grateful, it alters how you live. It changes your mindset towards others because you've recognized the goodness of God. He's kept me. He's kept my family through the storm. And I want to recognize that my whole life needs to be a life of gratitude to the Lord. So gratitude needs to be more than words. It needs to be action. The way that we live the life, our lives. There is a parable of the unmerciful servant who was forgiven a great debt and a little debt was owed to him and he was unwilling to forgive. And the Bible says that he paid for it dearly. Paid for it dearly. I want to let you know, man, this it's the word of God. We need to be careful because if we function out of a spirit of ungratefulness, we only bring upon ourselves condemnation. We only bring upon ourselves the rebuke of God that realizes that we don't appreciate all that he has done in our lives. When someone does something nice for you, a thank you is nice, but an opportunity to show them how grateful you are is even nicer. How many say amen? Our first point this morning is gratitude pleases God. And I love this. I love that the Bible says the Lord smelled the pleasing aroma. It was a pleasing aroma unto the Lord. I love that. Now we know that this is symbolic. A symbolic scripture to teach us that God was very pleased with the action of Noah. And the Lord was pleased with Noah's actions. If we want to please the Lord, we need to be careful that we are not ungrateful with the things of life and the things that God has given us in this life. You know, have you ever heard people complaining? Man, ungrateful. They complain about their jobs. They complain about their spouses. They complain about their families. They complain about their church. They complain about their church leaders. They complain about the van drivers. They complain about their homes. They complain about the ushers. They complain about the musicians. It's a spirit of complaining that just exists upon them. And I want you to know that it doesn't please the Lord. It doesn't please the Lord. It pleased God that Noah had built an ark for the Lord and made the sacrifice. I want to remind you that when you live your Christian life, be thankful. It's gratitude that pleases the Lord. It's a spirit of gratitude. It alters our lives. Every time we say thank you, every time we show gratitude in a sincere way, it pleases the Lord. It's a sweet aroma unto him. And I don't know about you, but I want my life to be a life that pleases the Lord. You know, when someone does something that makes you say thank you, right? There's a sense of gratitude. The emotion is shaken up within us when the kind gestures have been done and a kind response has been given back, a wonderful hug that says, man, I really appreciate you or appreciate what you did for me or how you helped me or how you led me or whatever. And there's this wonderful gratitude, right? It changes the atmosphere. It changes, even the relationships are encouraged and built. Why? Because gratitude flows from within us. It changes the atmosphere. So it does the same when we worship God. There's something new, right? It's pleasing to the Lord. Even when our children say thank you, right? As a parent, we feel, oh, wow, how awesome that they recognize this. And as a spouse says thank you to another, how awesome this is. It pleases one another. And I ask you this question here today. Are we showing gratitude even to those who are close to us? When was the last time we told our spouses, thank you, I appreciate you, you're awesome, you bless me? When was the last time we told our children, man, I'm thankful for you? When was the last time we told our parents, you know, thank you for blessing us and raising us and doing the best that you could with us? When was the last time we approach our Sunday school teacher, our departmental leaders, who take time out of their week? And this morning, the missions team and Sean were upstairs at 9 o'clock with their meeting, and Sean was encouraging them. That takes time. That takes effort from us. When was the last time we looked at our leadership and we said, hey, we just want to say thank you. We appreciate that. All right? Why? Because it pleases God, and then it changes even the atmosphere among us. There's an aroma that begins to exist. Why? Because we recognize the goodness of God that flows from within each and every one of us. So I want to encourage you this morning to do that. And our last point this morning, gratitude positions us for God's future blessings. You know, I love that after the sacrifice, God tells Noah, or God makes this declaration that he will never destroy the earth again this way. It's a future declaration. I want to remind you that when we react in a spirit of gratitude, it produces a blessing for us, a blessing for tomorrow, a blessing for the day after. It recognizes gratitude. When we say these things, it makes others want to be good to us, and it makes us want to be good to others. It produces a future blessing for us. So I want to encourage you to react this way to someone, and let someone react this way to you. Most of all, always recognizing God's goodness upon your life. For the blessing is not just for today, but the blessing is also for tomorrow. And the church says, amen. Gratitude flows from within. To finish our thought this morning, the psalmist says this: enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. This should be our way of life. This should be our action. And as I close today, I ask you some questions of application. Perhaps you're here today and you feel like you have a complaining spirit. Maybe that's me. Maybe I'm complaining, not happy where I am in life, not feeling like I have enough, like I should have more. Earthly things are never enough. Maybe the Lord is talking to you and your life has not been a sweet aroma to him. And the Lord is saying, you have purses with holes in them, and you work hard, and they are empty because there's no gratitude. Perhaps you feel like you never have enough. Maybe it's because you have forgotten that God has blessed the work of your hands. Perhaps this morning the Lord is speaking to you, saying something along these lines: I want your gratitude to be more than words. God is calling you into service. God is calling you into action. God is calling you to live a way that pleases him, and not only pleases him, in service to be a blessing to others. Maybe this morning the Lord is talking to you and showing he wants more than just words. Or maybe you never really have given it much thought, and the Lord is speaking to your life today. He wants you to realize that every good thing comes from him. His sovereignty has ruled over your life. Yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And for that, he says, gratitude should flow from within. So I want to encourage you this morning, as we approach Thanksgiving, to recognize God's goodness every day of our lives. And the church says, I invite you to stand this morning as we get ready to close. Father, we thank you, Lord, for all seasons of our lives. Some of us have gone through arc seasons where we are in a season of uncertainty, in a season of hardships, in a season where we're waiting on you to speak to our lives for direction, a season of fear of the unknown. Father, but you have spoken to us today, Lord, And you have told us to be grateful and thankful in all seasons, O Lord. You have reminded us, O Lord God, through your word, that gratitude should be our first reaction. It should be how we live every single day. That we would wake up in the morning in a spirit of thankfulness, understanding that you are good to us, O Lord. That we should remember, Lord God, gratitude regardless of our accomplishments. Yes, you've gifted us. You've given us what we need to achieve a few things in life or many things in life. But, Lord, it's your provision. It's your word. It's your strength that allows us to achieve that. It's not our gifting. It's not our labor. It's not our accomplishments. Help us, Lord, always to remember that. That we would remember, Lord, that gratitude is more than words. Saying thank you is good, but there's more to a spirit of gratitude. For we've been reminded that gratitude pleases God. It is a sweet aroma unto you, O Lord, and it positions us for new blessings. So, Father, I pray that you would help us to reevaluate our lives, that we would not be so arrogant or so prideful to think that we deserve it all, should have it. For Lord, everything comes from you, O Lord. And that we would wake up in the morning always giving thanks for this new day. Teach us, Lord, to live a life of gratitude, for it pleases you. Forgive us, God, of the times that we have failed you, that we have let you down, that we have been arrogant and prideful, ungrateful, complainers, lazy. Forgive us, God, of those times. For our desire is that gratitude would flow from within. Lord, we want to be a life that pleases you, a sweet aroma unto you, O God. So we thank you for our time here today, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Perhaps you're here today and you don't know the Lord. Maybe you're visiting us here today, or you've been coming, but you're not really seeking the Lord like you should. And the Lord is calling you today to give your life to Him. And from a grateful heart, recognizing the goodness of Jesus, today you say, I want to make Him my Lord and Savior. As we sing this next song, the altar is open. I want to invite you to come to the altar. Salvation is found in this place, in this day. I can only promise you one thing, that your future days will be better than your past days if Jesus reigns in your heart. And if you're here today and you are struggling with the teaching, saying, have I really lived a life of gratitude? Or maybe I've been self-absorbed. Maybe I've overlooked it. Maybe it's been my mindset, but it really hasn't taken form in my life. And the word is speaking to my life today, reminding me, hey, I need to be more grateful. And if you would like prayer to help you apply that word to your life, the altar is open. We invite you to come this morning.
Mender of the broken.
Thank you, Lord.
Healer of the soul. Redeemer of all yesterdays, oh, I will bless you, Lord.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.